You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie. This week, we are going to kick off the episode by talking about the stages of a toxic fandom. This was inspired by a tweet that we'll get into a little bit later, but we'll just delve into like when fandoms go toxic and like why that happens and some of our thoughts on all of that. And then after we finish that conversation, we are going to play a game that Kayla has creatively titled The Name Game. We are going to stack up song titles that are the same but are by different artists, and we're going to decide which ones we like better. So yeah,
Make sure you use the hashtag FOAFpod, because as always, we want to see you guys' tweets about the show. So yeah, let's go.
Yep.
So we saw a tweet by someone named Sam Sykes, and his at name is Sam Sykes Swears. And he wrote out six stages of a toxic fandom. And I'm just going to read out the stages really quick. The first one is, I love this. The second one is, I own this. The third, I control this. The fourth, I can't control this. The fifth, I hate this. And the sixth, I must destroy this. So
crazy.
We've seen this.
Oh, we've seen this.
We've seen all of these stages multiple times. I think for me, each time I've seen this, it's always had something to do with a celebrity's personal life.
Interesting.
When I think of the first stage, I love this. I think, you know, I love this person, right? I own this person. I control this person. But when you get to the fourth stage, it's, I can't control this, meaning their personal life. They make those decisions for themselves, you know? And if you don't always like the your favorite, you know, celebrity's partner sometimes, you know, you almost want to destroy it, you know? So people, I've seen fans do crazy things trying to make a celebrity's girlfriend or boyfriend, especially if they're not really in the business, kind of just like go away or be so like annoyed with how fans are that they're just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I've seen that firsthand. And so yeah, that's what I think of when I, the first thing I think of when I think of those six stages. So
that's interesting. When I hear it, I definitely do think about that, because you immediately, when you think about like toxic fandoms and also like legit crazy stans, you do think of people that like take things just a step too far when it comes to, you know, just completely trespassing on like a person's like personal life, private life. And we've seen that a lot with like everyone, basically. Justin, you know, Beyonce. Any celebrity, you name it, like One Direction, like they have been violated by some quote unquote fan. But actually, like, I do also, especially when it comes to like the second and third stages, when it comes to like, I own this, I control this. I do think a lot about the, when it comes to music in particular, and this does go for film and TV creators. Like, I do think of it as like the ownership of their work. And people, you know, we've talked about this in an episode before, like it all stems from this like weird fan entitlement. And just like, you know, you get into this mindset that like you own, you know, not just these people, but like what they're putting out. And so when the artists, you know, aren't releasing things at the time that you want it to, they're not releasing the type of music you'd like them to, like, you know, they're, were a lot of Taylor Swift fans, for example, that were have not been happy with anything that Taylor has done after really like the Speak Now album, but like especially after Red. Like anything Taylor has done that has kind of shifted from like the country pop thing that she did in the beginning, they don't like that. And like they not in a way that's like, we don't like the direction you're going to, but like, this was our thing and now you've taken it away and you're not doing it anymore. Why? And yeah, and there's like people that just don't acknowledge her music after that. Same goes for like, even like Beyonce, some of her eras, like there are people that like hate self-titled, which and like I so don't crazy. Understand. I personally though, like I'm trying to think, like the sixth and final stage is I must destroy this. Yeah. And like it's weird. Like I have seen that with some, like that's basically like the deeper you get into these stages, I feel like the smaller and smaller like the group of people that do that get. If you understand definitely. What I'm saying. Because, like, every fandom has, like, its toxic section. Every single fandom. Like, I'm sure even, like, the Barney fandom has, like, a crazy toxic, like, you know, fandom. And so I'm trying to, like, think if, like, I've seen an I must destroy this. And I feel like that part, though, I've seen more with when people are pissed about someone's personal life, not as much the... like the what's it called, the ownership over their work.
I think of I must destroy this when I think of people who will like, I've seen people say like, I refuse to buy this song because I don't like this song. Well, ooh. or I refuse to stream this song because buying, I mean, you know, I would only buy a song that I like, of course, but like, you know, stans do streaming to have their fave, you know, chart higher. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that stans have been doing for the last couple of years or whatever. And so sometimes even if you don't like a song, you'll stream just so they can have a high debut mm-hmm. on the Billboard charts or whatever. And I've seen people say, well, I'm not gonna stream this because they deserve to flop because, you know, I don't like this, I don't like the direction this is going in, blah blah blah. And it's like, if you're not the type of person to stream, well, okay, that's understandable. But if you have been the type of person that does care about charts and you have streamed songs 24/7, 365, you know, to make sure your fave charts high or whatever, it's so weird to me that just because you don't like the song or you don't like who's featured or whatever, you know, that you'd go through, you know, you'd go through that much just to say, okay, well, you know, I'd like to see this person flop because they didn't do what I wanted them to do. Like, you're the only fan. And I've definitely seen that before, but it is a small percentage of people who, you know, do things like that.
Mm-hmm. And on the TV side, it's, I think it's more like it happens more in TV than film, because obviously more episodes, more opportunities for people to get to the point of like, yeah, I must destroy this. But like, similar with like not streaming, like won't tune in or like will tweet at the creators and just be like, hey, you know, we hate that you're doing this, why did you kill off so and so, you know. Yeah. We saw that a lot with, what was that show with I think it was The 100, where like people.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
That was one of the most recent like examples of just ridiculous, I must destroy this because they. Yeah. I'm sorry, this is a spoiler, but they killed off a fan favorite.
Yeah, they were like boycotting, petitions. Like, it was deep.
It was crazy.
For no reason, though.
I'm trying to think if like I've ever felt this way. Like, for me, like you know, the stages again, it goes, I love this, I own this, I control this, I can't control this, I hate this, I must destroy this. Yeah. I think I have like tiptoed into the second stage, which is I own this, especially mm-hmm. in my early days of stanning, like in general, like, but not necessarily like I own this and you owe everything to me, but in the sense of like, I feel like such a personal connection to this that like, if something goes wrong to it, like, I feel affected kind of way. Like, you know, my connection to it is just so deep that I feel like I would if I owned something, or like if I had ownership of something. But like, it never translated to like, I'm going to do something about it, which then goes into like, I must destroy this. 'Cause it's like a dangerous kind of like line to like hold. For me, like, by the time I get to the point of like, something I really enjoyed has changed so much and I'm not enjoying it anymore, I just kind of like leave it alone.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
me.
What happens now though with like social media is people just like, they sit there and they stew in like this anger for a certain thing that isn't happening, or a certain thing that's changing, you know, naturally or whatever, and they don't let themselves let go, like because they're just in it and they're sitting there in it and can't escape those feelings. And you're also surrounded by probably a bunch of people who feel the same way, who are like basically like charging you up and getting you more angry about it. Like, if I sat in a room of like ex-Taylor Swift stans or something, or even like former Danity Kane stans. Like my Slack channel at work last week, like someone mentioned, like literally they were talking about Diddy and then somehow someone dropped a thing about Danity Kane and like a flock of us got in there and like started talking about Danity Kane for like the next 30 minutes. And I was just like, holy shit, like if we were all just sitting here together talking about how angry this one thing made us and how we wish they would have released this single instead of that, which we do have these feelings, but it's like we're not letting us we're not letting those feelings consume us so much that we're like trying to reach out to the artists or the producers or whatever and like literally trolling them or like doing all these crazy things that people do when they do let themselves sit in that anger. Like it really can get scary.
Yeah, and I've definitely tweeted out a few times, like, don't let this stan shit make you real life, like, angry.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Like, right? Like, please don't let this stan shit make you, like, real life angry. Because, like, I recently was talking to, I think it was in the group chat that we were talking about just, like, former Fifth Harmony stans and who are, like, K-pop stans now. Mm. And the anger that they have towards Fifth Harmony. Not just Fifth Harmony's fans, but like Fifth Harmony as a group. They just hate them so much. And it's like, what did they do to you? Like, did they like cut off your lights, your water? Like, what happened for you to hate them so much? And like you said, I never get so mad or am so upset with something that has to do with music, you know, celebrities, whatever, to the point where I like have this genuine hate in my heart for something to the point where I want to destroy it, you know, like the sixth stage. But I see so many people like that in the K-pop world when they were former like stans of Western artists. And I don't know if it's just like anger because not enough people are paying attention to their faves, you know, like enough for them to be able to come over here and be successful or something. I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't know if it's just because you feel like everyone over here is mediocre and everyone in South Korea isn't. I don't really get it, but I see it a lot from like former Western artist stans who are now K-pop
stans.
That's
interesting.
I definitely see that.
That's really interesting. No, I mean, for me, like, I wonder, like, I really just think it has to do with like, at the end of the day, like, you were at a point where you were at stage one, where it was like, I love this. I'm obsessed with this. This is amazing. And you more than likely spent a lot of time loving that thing. And then it just gets to the point where you love it so hard that you, I mean, like, I feel like we're probably the meanest to some of our family members. Like, that, you know, that happens. Because it's like, you know, meaner to them than we would be to, like, a friend or a coworker. And, like, it doesn't make any sense because that's our blood. But also, like, it just, like, is this intense, intense love that, like, not that I'm equating, like, family to, like, this, you know, standing. Yeah. But, like, you know, in general, though, like, this very intense love that gets so intense that it almost gets, like, okay, the word toxic, it becomes toxic because you start wanting to control it, which is the third stage. And so, like, I don't know. Like, for me, I just think it's, like, they get maybe upset. First of all, they don't like change, you know, which is usually why they end up getting upset. But also, like, I guess when you think about the amount of time, like I was saying, that you put into loving and obsessing over this thing and the probably money you spent, like, when it does start shifting in a direction you don't like, you truly start channeling your anger into that person or that, you know, writer, whoever it is. And what's really interesting, though, is that this tweet has 10,000 retweets currently as of this recording. It has like 10.1k retweets and like over 26,000 likes. First of all, that ratio is wild. But like, I feel like this, and it is like that because it does resonate across fandoms of like multiple things. Like, we've only mentioned mainly TV and music, but like film. I think a lot of the people that were replying to this were actually like video game fans, you know, like, I think they were like talking about that, which is like, and so it's just really interesting to me how this mentality kind of like goes across. It's like universal in fandom world, like, no matter what you're standing, it's kind of like scary and wild. And like, I'm hoping that, like I mentioned, for the most part, the fandoms I've been in, like, the fans like this are a very small part of it. But like what does end up happening is they do seep in to like the healthy, happy side of the fandom, which does, I think, end up making like the whole group kind of, as the years go on, a little bit like kind of cynical and like not always happy. And that's why I feel like as you the longer you have your fan account, I'm sure you've noticed this. It's like the longer you have your fan account, your following goes way down. Your your follower account might go up, but like you're not following that many people, because the a fandom, the bigger a fandom gets, like the crazier and more toxic that it usually gets.
Definitely.
The more of those people that start like, there's more of those people that start to like seep in, and most people just like, once you've been around for a while, you don't want to deal with that at all. So your blocking, you know, finger gets strong and your follower count goes down. Or following count goes down. Like, it's, that's how you have to, like, play it after a while when it comes to, like, really big fandoms.
Yeah, I mean, I only follow, like, 150 people compared to about, like, 5,000 or 6,000 followers that I have. So, you know, it's like, I used to follow maybe, like, 300 people. Like, but that went down, you know, like it went down crazy because so many people act a damn fool on Twitter. And I just don't like, I come on here to laugh and stuff, and I don't need y'all like being upset and just bringing down the mood all the time. And I think those were the people that I'd see all the time on my timeline. Those were in the 300 people that I was following. But yeah, I mean, you really just have to like cut ties with those people because then you'll get annoyed. And it's like, I refuse to get annoyed over this Stan shit. Like, it's not that deep. It's supposed to be fun, you know? Like, it's not supposed to be something that is sad and depressing.
Before we wrap up this part of the conversation, I want to read like a very wholesome reply to this, the original tweet that we saw. So again, like we read you guys like the original tweet, Stages of a Toxic Fandom. So someone in the replies, their username is Baron Altorin or something. We will definitely link it. But two users like replied to each other and made like the stages of a healthy fandom, which is one, I like this. Two, I love this. Three, I will make stuff based on this. Four, I will make stuff like this. Five, I will make my own stuff because of this. Six, I will make friends through this. Seven, I'll introduce others to this. And eight, I will share this with the next generation.
Yeah.
And that's just,
so sweet.
That's like the very, very wholesome side, which like, I feel like at the core of it, that's why people want to be in fandoms and why, like, to build that community of people that like the things you like. But, you know, because humans are insane and wild and incredibly flawed, like, you do get the toxic side ends up, like, becoming too much of a focus. But, like, shout out to, like, the shit that, you know, fandom inspires and, like, creates.
This podcast.
Your amazing fan art. Like,
yeah.
All these amazing, like, videos that I don't know how you guys create. You know? Like, so many amazing things. Did I mention fanfics? Like, just so many great things. So, like, shout out to fandom, of course. That's what this podcast is about.
Definitely. Okay, so now we're going to get into the name game. Cleverly named by myself. And so the
amazing,
way this, I guess,
fantastic, never been heard before.
So the way this, you know, game is gonna go, so we're gonna be choosing our favorite song with the same name sang or rapped, whatever, by different artists. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so that's kind of how the game goes. We're going to read about three apiece, I think. Three apiece?
Yep.
And, yeah, so I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, cool. So my first one is Bad Blood. So we have Bad Blood by Ne-Yo. I'll say that first. Bad Blood by Ne-Yo versus Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. Kayla. What do you go
with? I wish we had like an audience that could answer for me.
I know. But we will be posting all of these in Twitter polls when the episode drops, so you guys will be able to have your voice heard. But for now, it's just you.
I'm going to go with Ne-Yo.
Absolutely. Right choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Good choice. Mm-hmm. I, too, generally prefer that, like, Ne-Yo. Like, first of all, Bad Blood by Ne-Yo was, like, one of the best songs of 2016.
Yes.
Like, just production-wise, lyrically, like, we don't acknowledge any other Bad Blood.
No, no, no. That line, how does it go? I worship you like holy days.
I worship you like holy days.
Oh, my God. Lying on my back, seeing clouds and rays. Like, listen, drinking lemon bitter from my lemonade? What?
Okay. Drinking lemon bitter.
Yes, I mean, amazing.
Also,
amazing.
This just so, like, showcases her range.
Yes.
Like, the low note she hits during that drinking lemon bitter from my lemonade line, like, Jesus Christ. So good.
We love Bad Blood by Ne-Yo. We are
totally team Bad Blood by Ne-Yo, but you know, we do have the other song in the category, Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. There's the original version, like, just by itself, and then there's the version for radio that featured Kendrick Lamar. And, you know, she did a lot. Like, she really pushed the whole squad thing in the video because she, like, mm-hmm. had all these cameos. I mean, like, it was a pretty basic pop song. It's not my favorite Taylor song by any margin. But, like, yeah. In general, it was, like, a pretty basic pop song and, like, didn't really. Like, by, like, the second time I heard it, I was tired of hearing it. But, like, Ne-Yo's Bad Blood, I can listen to it, like, forever and ever and never get tired of it. Especially after I heard her sing it live. It's just, so good.
I'm jealous.
All right. So your turn. What's your first one?
I'm going to go with, my first one will be Sorry by Beyonce or Sorry by Justin Bieber. What's your fave?
Oh, shit. Well, okay. I feel like this is not hard because I think one is better than, Sorry by Beyonce, first of all, is my choice. Okay. But that's not to say that Sorry by Justin is a bad song, but I'll start with Sorry by Beyonce and why I love it. First of all, video. When it dropped, like, did we not all completely lose our shit during the, like, Becky with the good hairline?
Yeah.
Well, not hairline, but you guys know what I'm saying. and then also, like, Serena twerking by Beyonce's throne. Like, who, why? I don't know. But, like, thank you. Like, you know, that's all we needed to see. The video alone is amazing. The song itself, like, gave us so many one-liners. Like, boy, bye. Definitely. Becky with the good hair. What was it? Like, ashes to ashes, dust to side chicks? Like, the fuck on, Beyonce. Like, that definitely Sorry by Beyonce. Sorry by Justin. First of all, the video was basic as fuck and had all these girls, like, trying to whine, and they were all white. Like, there was not one, like, black girl in that video, I don't think. But, like, the song itself, though, as a pop song, I, like, never got tired of it. And, like, still when it comes on the radio, and I often will have it, like, stuck in my head randomly, like, that song to me, like, I could totally see why it would annoy the fuck out of someone. Like, if you're annoyed by it now, I get it. Like, I can hear why you would feel that way. But for me, like, it's definitely still a song, like, I go back to. Like, he had a bunch of bops that era, and that was one of them for sure, so.
Yeah, my pick is Sorry by Beyonce, of course, but Sorry by Justin Bieber is also a certified bop, so I agree that it's not hard. It's not a hard choice, but both of them are really good songs. But if I had to choose one, of course, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your next one?
My next one, this is like a throwback. Like,
throwback.
Also, you need to know, like, Sierra deep cuts. So it's Pick Up the Phone by Sierra versus Pick Up the Phone by Travis Scott. Now, Sierra's, for y'all who don't know, this song was from, like, her first album. Mm-hmm. It's like throwback Sierra. Pick Up the Phone by Travis Scott came out just last year.
Pick up the phone, baby.
Really good song. Never tired of it.
I'm going to go with Travis.
Interesting.
Because I honestly cannot tell you what that Sierra song sounds like.
Pick up the phone, boy.
Okay,
pick
I remember this.
Oh my God. Yeah. My sixth grade self, like, when we literally were only dialing, like, this was back when, like, I kind of want, like, an updated version of, like, text me the fuck back. Like, I need updated versions of both Bugaboo by Destiny's Child and Pick Up the Phone by Sierra, because literally no one's going to be picking up the phone. But, I mean, Travis, I think his Pick Up the Phone just came out, like, a year and a half ago. Maybe a little, I don't know if it's been
last
year. It's barely been that long. But no, Travis. So for me personally, I actually choose Sierra's Pick Up the Phone. Mm-hmm. Because it just has, like, it just takes me back to that time when I had her first album on bootleg. But but Travis's version is mm-hmm. also very, like, really good. I
love him.
So. Yeah, no. Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight was a classic. Both that, I had that song and We by Jeremih, like, both of those on repeat at the same time. Like, those to me are, like, never skips, for sure.
Well, you know, I love Travis. Like,
he's great.
I used to call myself K La Flame.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely what I have you as in my phone.
So, you know, I had to go with Travis off the strength of that. But I do really love his Pick Up the Phone. So, yeah, that's my pick.
Cool. What's your next?
Let's see. So this next one is going to be super easy.
Okay.
Iggy Azalea, Work.
Ugh,
or Rihanna, oh my God. Work.
I'm, like, insulted. Okay, so was the Iggy Azalea Work, I think I might have given that a flop, right? At some point.
You may have.
So people already know.
I've been up all night trying to get that read. I've been working
on
God. My
head. Oh, God. Okay. So... absolutely Rihanna. Like, I barely recall the Iggy Azalea song.
Yes.
But Work wins for me. For, like, every reason. I mean, it had two videos, first mm-hmm. of all. Like, all these songs actually had really great videos, or most of them. Yeah. Featured by Drake, you know, it was okay. Like, he had no idea what to do with Rihanna's ass in that video.
Absolutely.
But, I appreciated seeing them because I am an Aubrey stan, in case you forgot from, like, earlier episodes.
One of your few flaws.
So, yeah, Work by Rihanna. And you talked about it last episode, just how, to you, it's like, not only was it the song of the summer or one of the songs of the summer last year, like, you carry it with you to 2017. Yeah.
Forevermore.
Yeah. All right. So my last one is, like, kind of what this game was inspired by, if I'm being completely honest. And something that I've literally been thinking about for the past 2 years. Sugar Mama by Beyonce versus Sugar Mama by Fifth Harmony. God. We should mention, though, a lot of these other songs, some of them have things in common. Some of them may not. These songs have the same title and are polar opposites.
Yes.
Like, Beyonce is singing about being a man's sugar mama and, like, being proud of it.
Yes.
And Fifth Harmony, you know, it's about, like, almost a decade later, is saying, oh, okay, mainstream feminism is telling us that this isn't cool. So we are going to sing about not wanting to be a man's sugar mama. And, like, literally. So... what
Dude,
is your pick?
This is hard.
What is your pick?
Because, like, I'm going to admit, this is hard because if you know me, you know this is my absolute favorite Fifth Harmony song. Like,
Zam.
This is number one for me. This is my favorite Fifth Harmony song. But I love Beyonce's Sugar Mama. She
got
starts it off with, what did she say? Damn,
be.
That was so good. I want to buy him a short set or something like that.
Okay.
Ooh, and
can
then
we
it goes,
just.
Durm, 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 durm,
yeah.
Durm, like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So can we just read off some of the lyrics? Like, Beyonce sings.
I'm gonna be like a Jolly Rancher that you get from the corner store.
I'll be like a Jolly Rancher that you get from the corner store.
I'm gonna be like a waffle cone that's dripping down to the floor.
Like what?
Bruh. Like, I'm gonna have to go with Beyonce, okay? Like, I have to. This is putting me in a tight spot. I'm gonna have to go with Beyonce, but just know that that is my favorite Fifth Harmony song. Like, no other Fifth Harmony song tops Sugar Mama for me. I remember when I first heard Sugar Mama by Fifth Harmony, I was like, yo, this gives me like early 2000s. Mm-hmm. This gives me like an early 2000s feel so much.
Mm-hmm.
And from Reflection, that is my favorite song. Like, I almost wish that was I do wish that was a single, but it wouldn't have fit in with last year's sound, pop sound or whatever. But just to satisfy me, like, with a video or something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just loved it. It was, you know, sassy or whatever, but...
And for a minute, like,
Beyonce,
that was, like,
Sugar
their,
Mama,
like, most risque choreo, right? From
yeah,
that era?
Yeah, and then they had the chair choreo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I agree that was, like, one of the best songs from Reflection, like hands down. Definitely. It was the most mature sounding, like, yeah. But like you said, it didn't really fit with like the pop landscape. So, but weirdly, like Worth It barely did. Like Worth It would have been better the year before when like that trumpet thing was big. But anyway, that's like a whole nother conversation.
With Jason Derulo. But yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, like. I too pick Sugar Mama by Beyonce, but like mm-hmm. absolutely give Fifth Harmony their props. But yeah, I do like, find it interesting, like how it changed, like how the definition of Sugar Mama kind of like shifted, or like your reaction towards being one or whatever. Not that like they're the all defining people on, you know, not that Beyonce and Fifth Harmony are going to like set into stone like how we feel about them, Sugar Mamas,
right.
But. I don't know. We'll call up the Proud Family Sugar Mama, too.
It was kind of interesting, though, because Beyonce was, honestly, she was more so talking about being, I don't want to be too explicit, but how do I say this without saying it?
She was talking more about, like, in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Whereas Fifth
like,
Harmony
I'm
was
talking. I'm going to buy you things because you fuck me so good.
Basically, yeah, you said it.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say it. But yeah, and so Fifth Harmony was like, I'm not going to buy you food because you're starving.
Like, yeah, which, I mean, honestly, though, arguably, Beyonce did make that statement on like, what, Bills, Bills, Bills? Maybe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think they disagree.
No.
I mean, they both had these songs, same titles, and just had completely different things
Definitely
to say about
different.
It, which at the end of the day is pretty interesting.
Oh, wait, I had one more.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Demi Lovato's Confident?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm okay. So let me just.
Did you forget
again.
Who I am?
So, okay. So my third one is Demi Lovato Confident. Or Justin Bieber Confident.
Do I know Justin Bieber Confident is the question.
She's confident and
No, I don't.
You don't know
Mm-mm.
it? It's from, what's the good album?
Journals.
Justin Bieber's best, yeah, the best, his best album.
So,
Journals.
Confession, I like didn't give Journals enough attention when it came out.
Wow.
Like, not like that, it just like came and went, like, you know, and I didn't really care for him that much at that point. And so it wasn't like a Journals is a shitty album. Like, I genuinely have not spent time with this album enough to, like, tell you. But I do hear that, like, people say that's his best album. But I
definitely
don't know this song. I, like, had no idea him and Chance collabed before I'm the One, mm-hmm. which barely is a collab between them.
Yeah, well, Confident, if I had to give my, you know, pick, it is definitely Justin Bieber's Confident.
Hey. Okay, just hearing like 3 seconds of it just now, like I do agree that I like his. Now, Demi Lovato's Confident, we've all heard.
Yeah, horrible.
Like, it just
song.
Is like, ugh, like I'm out of breath just thinking about it. Like, it's just her like screaming and definitely
What's
not.
Wrong with
me? What? Yeah, whatever. it's just her screaming and it's like not fun. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Justin's.
Justin.
And yeah.
Okay.
But
so that was the name game, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. So now we're gonna get into our flops and faves. And as always, that is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let you go first.
Yep. So my fave of the week, y'all, like literally, it's only Tuesday, but he has cheered me up several times. I've, like, been, mm-hmm. I've had a crazy, really stressful week. This week, GQ unveiled their July cover.
Oh, gosh.
And it is, the cover star is the one, the only, Mahershala Ali.
Lord.
Who you may know from House of Cards, Luke Cage, most famously, and got the Oscar for Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
And like his smile, like
he's
this
so...
like his everything, but like this photo shoot was just him like bouncing around in colorful clothes and beautiful like surroundings and like beach vibes. And it's just like, he is so beautiful. And it genuinely has made my day. And like someone, I think there was a video from the shoot and someone was making like posting GIFs from it. And like that alone cured every ailment that I have. Not that I knowingly have any, but like, I don't think I'll be sick for a while because I saw that GIF. And there's one particular picture that I actually made my like screens, not screensaver, lock screen on my phone. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of him like holding a half eaten hamburger. And like he's holding
Luckiest
it.
Hamburger.
Yeah, Luckiest Hamburger. But he's holding it as if like, and looking into the camera as if like, as you're looking at this photo, it looks like he's about to give you a bite. Or like the story I put in my head is that he had been feeding it to you. And like this photo, this photo was snapped like
this is so sensual.
As he was feeding you this hamburger. And it is my lock screen again. And literally every time I've looked down at my phone for the past 2 days, like I've just started smiling like an idiot. And it has been the best thing. So Mahershala Ali is my fave of the week. Like, everything about him. Go watch all his movies and all his shows and go look at this GQ cover.
He is so damn fine, y'all. Please.
He is. So my flop, okay, my flop might make me sound like an old that, like, is very out of touch with what's going on. Because, like, the memes have been popping out like crazy. I don't know if it's because, like, the kids are out for summer. Mm-hmm. But, like, the past couple weeks, like, it feels like every day there's a new meme and I can barely keep up. So my flop of the week is mostly because I'm confused by it and don't get it and don't know where it came from. I don't know if you've been seeing this GIF.
I'm already dying laughing.
Like, of this fucking Kuka. Dinosaur in a wig.
Kuka.
Like... What the I'm fuck dead. Is this? Like, I don't understand it. Like, some people just use it to, like memes are being used for to accentuate a point. Other people keep comparing it to Wendy Williams. I don't know if this is, like, a monster or an alligator or a dinosaur.
It's a crocodile.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up. But it has just been confusing the hell out of me. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of fucking Baby Grinch, which is like the bane of my existence in the wintertime because Kay,
you know I love
as
Baby
soon
Grinch.
As cold weather starts to hit Kay's skin and it starts getting closer to Christmas, she changes her icon to Baby Grinch. And it like, I have to like, I'm like, have the urge to mute you so bad, but then I don't because I want to see your tweets. I wish you could like just mute someone's like icon because it's literally I hate green monsters and that is what is happening. So my flop of the week is this weird ass dinosaur meme. I don't even know what the fuck it is. But yeah, y'all stop posting that in my presence.
Well, I love Kuka the crocodile, but yeah, so we love Kuka. I love Kuka at least.
I'm gonna have to ask my boss about it. She's Brazilian, but anyway,
yes, she might know. But yeah, so okay.
So that yeah, that's my flop and fave.
My fave of the week is I'm gonna give a shout out, I guess,
okay.
to her at name is NJH Brooke, Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a 5H stan. And she posted a video on Father's Day. And there was a dad and his son on the back row in, I guess, a theater at a Fifth Harmony's concert on Father's Day. And she went up to him and gave him their floor seats, her floor seats that were on like the second row or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so happy. And the dad was like, oh my God, thank you so much. They were super shocked. They clearly had no idea this was going to happen. And he was like, my son loves him so much.
Aww.
And it just warmed my heart so much because one, you know, a father, son outing to a Fifth Harmony concert. I love that. And then just the fact that they, you know, give up their seats. I'm sure these are fans that have seen Fifth Harmony before. So they gave up their seats so this dad and his son could go sit closer and stuff. So I thought that was super nice.
That is so cute.
And yeah, it's, I mean, I'm going to try to find the tweet so I can link it below so you guys can go see it because it's so adorable. So yeah, that's my fave. Aww. NJH Brooke, shout out to you for doing that. That's really nice.
Yeah, shout out to you. You are amazing.
Yeah, and so Yeah, that's my fave. And so my flop goes to Bryson Tiller.
Yes.
Because his verse on yes. Wild Thoughts is fucking terrible. I cannot. Like, every time I listen to the song, because like I said on Twitter, I said, you know, we talked about summer bops last episode. Mm-hmm. I said, Wild Thoughts is my new contender for Song of the Summer. Mm-hmm. And I love the song. Love the Maria sample, all of that. Rihanna. Amazing. Bryson Tiller gets on the beat, and he rides the beat really well, but
does he?
Beyond that, no. Like, what the fuck was he saying? Everything after he said, like,
yeah, I treat you like a lady. Okay, so let me read this, and first of all, if there's any kids in the room or if you're listening to this in a car, fucking throw them out. Throw the kids out. Right. Do not let right. anyone around as I read the next two lines from Bryson's song, or Bryson's verse. Yeah. So here it is. Fuck you till it. I can't.
Fuck you till you're burned out cremation.
Fuck you till you're burned out cremation. Make it cream, yeah, Wu-Tang. Throw that ass back, bouquet.
Bouquet? Are you fucking serious?
Call me and I can get it, Duce. I can get your. I can tell you're gone off that Duce. Okay. First of all, that is. Get away from her if she's off that fucking Duce. Like, she cannot consent, first of all. Right. But also, yeah, I had the same thought. Like, I don't enjoy him on this song at all. And I actually tweeted, like, literally I tweeted this, like, at a random time. Like, I thought this, I literally had second thoughts about tweeting it because I was like, nobody's going to care about my thoughts about this. But I just tweeted, like, I wish Ty Dolla $ign had been on Wild Thoughts yes. instead of Bryson. It currently has, like, over 200 retweets and over 300 likes.
Because the people agree.
Because people okay? fucking agree that, like, literally, I could have put anyone else. I could have been like, I wish Elmo was on Wild Thoughts instead of Bryson. And it would have gotten, like, probably more, to be honest. Right. Like, you know, right. retweets and shit. Like, I have only seen bad things about his verse. There have been a few Bryson stans in my mention, like, man, y'all never, like him or give him a chance. I'm like,
because
yeah, no.
He sucks,
because he's
like,
not good, and he totally kills the vibe of the song.
Yes. Fuck it till you're burned out. Cremation is hands down the worst line I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude. And then he said, now that pipe got her running like she... And then he doesn't say Usain, like Usain Bolt. He says Usain Bolt, which pisses me off
yeah.
even more.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm carrying that water, Bobby Boucher. Like, oh my God, Waterboy. Are you serious? That is not creative at all.
Nope.
That's not like a Nicki line.
All of these off. Sound like Nicki lines. Like, they're just
I'm so
not,
pissed off.
Like...
You know I'm a slaughter, like I'm Jason, but goodbye. Like, if the song wasn't so good, I would not like it because of him. Like,
Rihanna's verses are just, first of all, she's Rihanna, it's great, but like, her actual verses and lyrics are much better.
Yeah, so my flop is Bryson Tiller for that
good.
Trash-ass verse. Also, kind of want to shout out Party Next Door because he wrote Rihanna's parts and like the chorus or whatever, and he's 2 for 2 I think with Rihanna, so he wrote Work as well.
Nice.
So shout out to Party Next Door because he's a beast with the pen. Drake knows it, that's why he steals all of his rhymes, but I'm gonna go now.
Oh my God.
All the music you hear in the beginning and the end of every episode is produced by our lovely friend Dion. You can follow her on Twitter, SoundCloud, and all the other things at Your Girl DJ Magic. Follow her and listen to her new, like, Jersey Club remix, if that's what it is, of The Weeknd by SZA. It's really good. So yeah, go do that.
And you should follow us at The Fam Podcast on Twitter and Tumblr. And send us your tweets and your thoughts and talk to us because we love hearing what y'all are saying. Mm-hmm. And you can also follow me and Kayla on our personal accounts, which you can find either in the description box of the podcast you're listening to right now or in the bios of our main show account. So
yes,
holla at us. And
yes.
Yeah, we will see y'all next time. Thank you for listening.
Adios.
We love y'all.